This is Orson Scott Card for Audible.com, and the sci-fi find of this month is Starborn by Andre Norton. When I was in junior high school, I first discovered science fiction novels. They hadn't existed in my life before then, but our junior high library had a great selection of books with those spaceships on the spine, signifying that it was a science fiction book. And I had read a little bit of science fiction short stories when I was younger, growing up in California. But now I was in Mesa, Arizona, went into the junior high library there, and they had books by Andre Norton. First one I picked up was one called Galactic Derelict, Time Travel, finding not ruins of ancient civilizations the way we do, with the way it's been a long tradition in fiction set on Earth, but instead the ruins of an ancient high-tech civilization. So the lesson was that even high-tech civilizations like ours can fall and leave behind relics, but sometimes those machines still work. Well, that just captured my imagination. I went on and read Time Traders, Cat's Eye, and then a book called The Stars Are Ours, and its sequel called Starborn. Now, don't be put off by the fact that Starborn is a sequel. There's hundreds of years between them. The stories have not a single character that overlaps. You can start with Starborn. In fact, that's the way I did it. I read Starborn before I read The Stars Are Ours, and the book captured me. It was absolutely wonderful. So I went back recently to see if it was still a good book, because, you know, a book you read as a kid that you fall in love with, easily you can discover that it was not really all that good. You were just a new, young, inexperienced reader. When I reread it, I realized, good heavens, Andre Norton was already writing excellent, first-rate, adult science fiction. And then I realized why. I've known this fact for a long time, but hadn't really put it together how good these early writers were. There were no science fiction novels published in the 1950s and the early 1960s, not in paperback, not in hardcover. They didn't exist except as juvenile fiction. Now, juvenile was the term they used then. Then the word juvenile delinquent came into use, and so the word juvenile started to take on negative connotations, and so they switched the name. They now call it YA, or young adult fiction. And so all science fiction novels in that era, or almost all of them, were published as young adult fiction, as juvenile fiction, even though the writers were the very same ones who were writing stories for adults in the magazines, and they didn't change their means of writing at all. Well, some of them did. Isaac Asimov had a series that was definitely skewed for young readers. But Heinlein and Norton were side by side, well, not quite, but were there in the science fiction section, or the spaceship section of the junior high library, and they were both doing some of their finest work. Heinlein at the time was doing books like Tunnel in the Sky, Citizen of the Galaxy. Those are still books that capture my imagination. They still live in my memory. And of course, Andre Norton was doing books like Starborn. What we're seeing in these young adult novels is the birth of the science fiction novel. And these were the writers who taught the rest of us how it's done. I'm not the only one who grew up reading these books. My whole generation of science fiction writers, We were taught by, we learned at the feet of Andre Norton and Robert Heinlein. But look, you don't care about science fiction history. You want to read an excellent story. And Andre Norton, Starborn, is that. It's got all of the elements that capture my imagination in science fiction. It's got aliens, of course. But the interesting thing is that it not only has two different species of alien on the same planet, one, an ancient race that was cruel and really created the other one and did it for their own entertainment, kept them as slaves, used them quite badly. But there are also two species of human, which I don't think anybody had done in science fiction before that. And so this book is quite an interesting one in trying to explore whether the two groups of humans are going to be able to regard each other as still being kin and still be loyal to each other, as you would expect in a conflict among species. And the answer to that and many other questions, I think, is fascinating, because science fiction has always raised deep, important questions. Even though we're reading adventure stories and we're gripping the edges of the book, waiting to see what will happen next, nevertheless, you also have to be given elements that make you think. What does it mean when a civilization destroys itself and then tries to rise again from the wreckage? Are you rooting for the high civilization? Is there some necessary connection between having a wonderful high-tech civilization with lots of cool machines and being good guys? Maybe there isn't. Who knows? Maybe in some future history, they'll look back on our time and say, wow, these guys were such clowns, or worse, that our high-tech civilization represents something other than goodness. But those questions were raised in my mind as a kid, a 12-year-old in middle school, reading Starborn. And then the human race, has evolution stopped? Are there perhaps inside us capabilities that we don't even know about, that it just takes stimulation from an outside source for us to become awakened to our own abilities? Now, the story, the science fiction stories always have tropes that pass from story to story that are used again and again in the field. See if you recognize these in a contemporary story that has millions and millions of people paying attention to it. There is a journey of exploration, a man coming to prove himself, a young man in this case, trying to discover who he really is. And instead of just finding out who he is, he stumbles upon something that the fate of his whole civilization depends on. You explore the ruins of ancient civilizations, high tech. You don't understand the purpose of half the things you find. But gradually you begin to realize that instead of being ruins, they're still being used. The creators of this high-tech civilization, the creators of these artifacts, are still around and not necessarily nice. There's the element of having to decide in an instant without anywhere near enough information who are the good guys and who are the bad guys, and then make your decision and take action in support of the team you've decided to support. I hope that some of this sounds like the television series Lost, because those tropes from science fiction stories as old as Starborn are still alive, still thriving, and millions of people respond to them. This story is a terrific read, and you will enjoy it. I can promise you that. If you like adventure stories, you don't have to think. You can just read whatever you want to, listen to the story. But if you don't end up thinking about some of these issues, then I don't think you were paying attention. You'll love this story. This is Orson Scott Card for Audible.com.